Hello, you're listening to People, Pets, and Vets with Dr. Brad Miller and registered veterinary technician Angel Martin.
Hello.
Each week we bring you current events and news in the veterinary industry and share our thoughts and perspective on how they impact us in our animal hospital. We also try to give you an insight and behind-the-scenes glance at our clinic and the people in it. This episode 107 is being brought to you once again by Georgia Veterinary Associates, a family of animal hospitals caring for your family pet. Did you ever talk to Jen about recording the intro?
I did, but the guy who is going to help her, Brad, has an injury at the moment and can't play the guitar.
Oh, so he was going to do like a custom little...
he was going to make a custom jingle for us.
And then is she going to sing?
She said she was probably going to speak. Yeah.
Okay.
She suggested that we cut our intro down.
Yeah.
That it's too long.
Okay.
So,
yeah.
I don't know. I feel like if you, for whatever reason, you stumble upon our podcast for the first time and you're listening to 107 and we don't do like a giant intro and like tell them who you are and who I am and why we do what we do, then they may not understand it.
Maybe. I don't know. We'll see what they come up with. So it is Saturday,
April 24th.
We're recording early because you're about to be out of town.
I am.
And we are having technical difficulties. We cannot get the iMac to come up. It's doing an update that's going to take over an hour to perform. And we've tried to troubleshoot that, have been unsuccessful. So we're going old school. We're recording on an iPhone, what version?
I think you have a 12 Pro Max. Something like that.
So we may try to keep it. We'll try to keep it a little bit short here, but wanted to get the podcast in. So April 24th is World Veterinary Day.
Well, it could be World Veterinary Day.
Veterinary, as some people say, which is a pet peeve. If you listen to the first 5 episodes, I'm sure I brought that up.
Yes.
And so I joked yesterday downstairs with some of the other associate doctors. I'm like, well, when is it ever going to be World Veterinary or World or
Veterinarian
Day? Not World, but yeah, when is it going to be Veterinary or Veterinarian Day? Because this past week was National Veterinary Receptionist Day.
Mm-hmm.
And so, much to my surprise, the answer was today.
Yeah. So, but earlier in the month, there was a doctor day. And so I think that was originally dedicated to MDs. But we did kind of congratulate and thank all of our doctors for their hard work and dedication to their craft, I guess. But yeah, so World Veterinary Day.
So the World Veterinary Association, which again, I was not really familiar that we had one of those, but this is, one of their callings or doings. And I guess this year the theme is they're focusing on the veterinarian's response during COVID-19 and kind of how we as an industry have adapted and as a profession have adapted to continue to provide care to pets and the people who love them.
Mm-hmm.
And also, it just kind of mentioned in the brief article, you know, how significantly the global human and animal populations have been affected by COVID-19.
Right.
So,
again, important that it's not just people, right? It's animals, whether they are wild or they're captive.
Or they're newly adopted.
Or they're domestic.
In the homes, or they were in a shelter situation and they've been adopted out. So there's a lot of effect,
but
for sure.
But think about even like the way that... And I don't really know other than like what the news has showed us, but think about the way that people react in like other countries. Like think about Africa and the sanctuaries that they have there for wild animals. If people were so afraid to go out, you know, like were these animals taken care of the same way that they would have without the pandemic? I'm certain that there were innovations that were made and that kind of thing, but that's when I think world, I don't think just dog and cat. I think like they're talking like wild, zoo, exotic, marine. That's what I think World Veterinary Day is kind of describing.
Yeah.
Like how
the mink population,
the entire veterinary animal care world has adapted.
Yeah. I mean, mink population we've talked about. There were mink farms that were completely eradicated because of this disease. I read something this past week about the focus once again between animals contracting these diseases and having mutations, and then they're now infecting people, which up until, what was it, African swine fever we talked about, and then...
Swine flu, yeah.
Or swine flu. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, this coronavirus. Prior to those two, you didn't really hear a lot about this. And so this World Health Organization, one health effort, you know, that was introduced maybe 5 years ago, is becoming much more important. So, I mean, I'm excited that the world seems to be opening up, and that we're not quite as afraid of COVID
whether it's
at this
real
point.
Or just people are tired of it or being naive to it. Yeah. But it is starting to feel a little bit more normal.
It's going to be a process, obviously, and every place and individual is going to feel and be a little bit different. But I know our clients, many of our clients are, you know, almost asking me on a daily basis, you know, when are y'all going to open the lobby up? When are you going to do this? When are you going to do that? And so we're still just trying to make the best decision for our efficiency as a staff, our safety as a staff, and you know what's gonna be safe and efficient for our clients and patients as well. So many places I saw that Las Vegas is opening back up 100% capacity in casinos and restaurants. I'm assuming shows June 1st, I believe.
Oh wow!
But they're still gonna require a mask.
Yeah.
So that's, you know, when we open our lobby and exam rooms, it's going to be very similar. We're still going to be
course,
wearing masks
yeah.
until the big captain of the mask police tells everybody we don't have to wear masks anymore.
So, but that's interesting because in the state of Georgia, didn't masks mandates like in restaurants and things get released? Now it's up to the owner of the restaurant to require it or not?
Maybe. I know the percent occupancy is now back to 100, if not close to that.
And there's no more like a social distance mandate.
Yeah, but I don't know about the mask. It may be individual, but Texas, you know, Texas and a couple other states at this point a month ago were not requiring masks.
Okay.
So, anyway, it's interesting times that we live in for sure.
So you mentioned the National Veterinary Receptionist Day. So
we celebrated that this past week.
Yep. We took some time and as we do during Tech Week, we celebrate all of our staff. But we did try to dote over our receptionists just a little bit because they are kind of the quote unquote front lines of the front line.
Yeah.
Kind of seeing all of our or communicating with all of our clients before anybody else in the practice and most likely after anybody else in the practice as well.
And, you know, everybody's role during this pandemic has changed since we kind of moved towards that curbside model. Particularly our CSRs are still answering the phone. They're receiving clients in, but they're not making as many appointments going out or checking people out. Our technicians are doing that, which I think is a very good move on our part.
Sure. That innovation of just not being so traditional with the receiving, the escorting into an exam room, the escorting out of an exam room, and then escorting out the door. So we've changed that up a little
but
bit.
But also the CSRs are literally, after they check in a client over the phone, walking out, many of them, and getting the pet from the owner and bringing that pet in the exam room. So kudos to them. Kudos to our whole staff during this whole pandemic.
We focused a little bit on self-care, and so they all received little self-care bags with candles and bath bombs and what are they called? Like eye masks. They're either their temperature, like you can heat them or cool them. So anyways, just focusing on them because they do kind of take the brunt of a lot. Not that there are tons of mean clients or whatever, but they do try to help be the glue, kind of holding things to and fro. So we do want them to take care of themselves.
Yeah, so thank them and really everybody in our clinics for the hard effort. This past week, we also celebrated Earth Day.
Earth Day!
And we had some, I guess, water tumblers, water drinking vessels. What do you call those?
Let's call them reusable water bottles.
Reusable water bottles that we had previously given to our staff as a thank you, and we had some leftovers, and so we offered those up to our clientele for a small donation that would go to our care fund,
yep,
our nonprofit.
Yep.
And then if they contributed to that, they would get an Earth Day GVA water bottle.
Exactly.
So that, yep, went over very well. We were kind of happy to participate. Along those lines, I read, you probably got the email as well, because you normally fly Delta, right?
I do fly Delta.
What other airlines do you fly?
Well, on a routine basis?
Well, on a, like, twist your arm basis that you don't care to fly. I think it's okay to say. We can talk about
it. So when we talk about this, so I just want to say, like, I feel like everything was put on hold in 2020, right? So there was no price increase, even in airlines and that kind of thing, because obviously people were terrified to fly. Well, now that things are opening back up a little bit, people are vacationing or traveling for work or what have you, prices are going to go up. And
right,
therefore, I was forced due to price.
Do you want to say the airline name or just say another airline? You flew another airline.
I'll say the name. I'm not afraid.
Okay.
I was forced to fly Spirit.
Oh, gosh.
It was not a terrible flight out of Atlanta, but the flight back to Atlanta was pretty bad.
Do you always say Atlanta or do you normally say Atlanta?
Atlanta.
Okay, you say, yeah, okay. Okay, go ahead.
Atlanta. How do you say it?
Atlanta.
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 Atlanta. Atlanta. Okay.
Okay.
Anyways, it's a very small plane. It's definitely not something I was accustomed to. The service is different. Other people are different as far as the passengers and that kind of thing. It was just, I felt like I was in a flying sardine can.
So we've...
You felt every ounce of turbulence.
Yeah.
It was not a fun flight.
We've talked about this before, at least internally, you know, like I'm an airline snub, I guess, at this point. Snob that...
Snub nose. I
just want to... Yeah. I just want to fly Delta and no other airline from A to Z reason, because they just do an awesome job. And it's not because they are based out of Atlanta, but they do a great job.
But doesn't
and I feel
it boil
very
down to the service?
The service and the cleanliness and the environment, and they're on time and it's everything. But you do pay a premium for that. But we can liken that to anything, whether it is a fast food restaurant,
so exactly
whether
where
it's
I was going.
A gas station,
hospital.
A veterinary hospital.
Yes.
The value is there, and I will happily pay more for my ticket because I know what to expect, and that is the experience I want.
I'm going to put an asterisk, though, within reason for me.
As far as price?
Yeah. So yeah, if it's, you know, 4, 5, 6 times more to fly Delta than it is another,
you're gonna look.
I'm definitely gonna consider going somewhere else.
That's fair enough, within reason.
Especially for a shorter flight. Now, if it were long or that kind of thing, but the same can be said for a veterinary practice, right? And so, I feel like this is something that we try to convey to our staff. Like, you kind of people, if they are paying more, they expect to get more, and that whole saying, like, you get what you pay for. You know, that's a cliche because it's true in most instances. And so we try to give and provide value to people and hope that they receive it and realize that it equals what they've paid for it.
Providing
or exceeds what they've paid.
To the pets as well, right?
Of
so
course.
That people don't really know, most of our clientele don't ultimately know the medicine or the surgical care that we provide, but it goes, that's kind of expected and they don't necessarily see that.
But there's that level of trust.
Yeah, yeah.
And so if they don't trust you on all these other aspects that they can see value in,
yeah,
they're never going to trust you on the aspects that they can't physically see or they don't know the difference in order to appreciate.
Right.
So it's the same thing, right? Like, I don't know how to go work a fryer at XYZ restaurant. You know, I could probably never make a Chick-fil-A chicken sandwich, but I appreciate it when I go buy it.
Yeah. So, yes. And so, yes, we talk about, or you hear, and or you hear about, you know, the Amazon effect,
yes,
which is a little different, but that is also excellent customer service, and you get what you expect when you expect it.
Yes.
Uber, We're not gonna throw them in this mix because with this pandemic, there's a lot going on with Uber, but there's value there. But yeah, that we can talk about that another day. Chick-fil-A, the expectations, the delivery. It's no problem. You know, it's the same thing we ask our entire team. Do not say it's no problem.
I feel that like implies this is a repeat.
That it would be a problem.
You get stuck
it's
on this.
My pleasure. And then now we have the Delta experience.
Yes.
And so circling this whole thing, the reason I mentioned Delta is I started 5 minutes ago talking about an email I got, and they are promoting the fact that they are trying to become more earth friendly.
Okay.
And they are flying newer planes versus older planes because they're more fuel efficient.
Mm-hmm.
They are looking at different fuel alternatives that have less greenhouse effect. They are suggesting and recommending that passengers fly with a stainless steel straw that's reusable, and that they're also flying with a refillable water bottle. If you don't have one, you can, you know, contact us and we would be happy to send you one for a small donation of $12 that benefits our care fund.
Us, not Delta, right? Yeah, Delta's not saying this. We are.
You know, so they are promoting themselves, but good for them for stepping up and, you know, doing the right things for the right reasons. So.
But as we've said during COVID, though, I feel like the whole, like, earth-friendly initiative
went away
because everything was single-use plastic, single-use everything.
I will chime in here. One of my pet peeves and one of my least favorite things to do if I'm eating out somewhere and I want ketchup, right? So the last thing I want to do is open up three of those little, what do you call the little squish,
tinfoil
ketchup packets.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to go back to Chick-fil-A. Chick-fil-A serves you with a little container with a tinfoil that you peel off to dip your fries in. You don't have to open these nasty little ketchup packets.
Well, why wouldn't you want like a just giant big bottle that they could hand you and squeeze on your plate?
Who? Chick-fil-A?
Anybody.
Well, during the pandemic, we're all afraid of COVID. It's everywhere. It's on cardboard. It's on stainless steel.
So is that your argument that you wish they would just give you a giant ketchup bottle?
I don't know what my argument. I've lost my train of thought there. But I hate that we've gone to these single use, all these things that are less earth friendly.
Yes.
I'm hearing now that buffets are starting to open up, but I think the buffet experience is going to be different. You're probably going to be served
your
buffet
sure.
item versus you grabbing the tongs and putting it on your plate.
Yeah.
So,
which, quite frankly, I'm totally cool with. I don't like a buffet.
Yeah, I know you're kind of weird about that. I've always been fine, but
so talking about the greenhouse effect and all of that, did you see the article that I talked to you about? There's some research being done with cattle and feeding them seaweed instead of grass in order to decrease their methane gas.
So I'm going to correct you a little. Not instead of, but adding seaweed to their diet at a certain percentage. They kind of studied this to see what percentage of seaweed in their diet would reduce methane being produced, which is supposedly causing a lot of problems with the greenhouse effect.
Right. So this is, remember the argument or the debate that we had, we were like, why is eating beef a big deal?
Mm-hmm.
Right. And
mm-hmm.
so the more I look into it, the more it makes sense to me. And so I do get it a little bit more than I did when we first talked about it. But yeah, to your point, these people, I don't even know who they are, but they were out of UC Davis, I think, California. Is that right?
Yeah.
So they basically studied a small handful of cattle by feeding them a mixture of seaweed. The interesting part that kind of reads down in, and this is where research kind of falls or fails us sometimes, is that they don't think that there's enough of this species of seaweed to actually be legitimate as like a legitimate
an alternative
to for the large population of cattle. So now they're looking at like, A, how are they going to get seaweed, which grows in the ocean, not on the mm-hmm. land, to these land animals? And then how are they going to, are they going to farm this species of seaweed?
They're looking at it. And so I do know, like, the seaweed salad that you eat, let's say, at Connie House,
mm-hmm.
most of that is, I was going to say synthetic. That's not the right word. But it is farmed. It is not natural sea origin seaweed.
Gotcha.
And so I think they'll be successful in figuring that out. The stats of this whole greenhouse effect of methane are that agriculture is responsible for 10% of greenhouse gas emissions in the U.S., and half of those come from cows and other ruminants. And so that's 5% of animals producing methane are responsible for this greenhouse effect, right? And so I guess I'm not very bright sometimes, but I had when I was reading the article, I put in my notes, like, human gases, ? Are they responsible for greenhouse effect?
But we don't necessarily produce methane, right? Or do we?
I mean, human gas, there is at least some, if not all, methane in the gas that goes aborad, which means away from the mouth and comes out the other end.
Mm-hmm.
So the methane gas that we're talking about in these ruminants is when they ruminate. They're eating their grass, right? There, it gets in their rumen, which it kind of ferments, and they start ruminating, and these gases are produced, and then they belch.
How many stomachs do ruminants have?
4.
All of them?
Like, all ruminants have 4, yes.
Yeah, that's what I'm asking.
Yeah, yeah.
Don't look at me silly. Yeah, I'm just asking, like, how many stomachs? So all ruminants have, that's what makes them a ruminant.
So
they have 4 stomachs.
Yeah, they're sitting there chewing their cud. You know, they
and so belch. This is not passing gas through the backside.
That's
this
my
is
point.
Actually belching. So quite frankly, I would imagine that most people would think that it's being passed flatulence versus like being belched out.
Yeah.
So I feel kind of naive by
So yeah, that was a good refresher, but have you ever smelled a cow or sheep or goat belch? I mean, it's kind of a sweet,
gaseous, weird. Though. Like, I don't know how to explain it.
Yeah. So anyway, you know, this is the study of one group, and this evidently is their thing, and that's fine.
But it's positive in the sense
there
are people out here looking for alternate situations versus, like, let's just not eat beef.
Yeah.
It's more so let's continue to evolve and innovate the situations that get us
to improve
to a better earth.
Correct. Versus, as you just said, versus not eating beef or other ruminant.
Yes,
producing
of course.
Meats.
Yeah. So that being said, I wanted to talk about something just small.
Okay.
But we had a doctor's meeting not too long ago, a couple nights ago, and you introduced a new drug that we were going to bring into the practice. And I think it's interesting because, like, right now I can think of 4 new drugs that have come to the veterinary world just this year or this month alone.
This month, yeah.
And so what I think, retroflecting on it now, kind of just coming to me, I feel like these drugs probably were available during 2020, but everyone's attention was diverted.
Maybe.
And so now, because it's interesting, like, why are all these drugs available right now? It doesn't make sense. I think they're just trying to be released, like, as the minds of people are being opened. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So there's a new KCS drug, so for keratoconjunctivitis seca.
Yep, also known as dry eye.
And that's called Centrix.
And just to be clear, it is primarily a lubricant to lubricate the eyes, has some hyaluronic acid, so it helps to kind of provide proper nutrition to the cornea. So that's part of the treatment for KCS. Otherwise, we tend to want to stimulate tear production through a cyclosporine product to kind of slow down the autoimmune reaction going on in the tarsal gland, and or tacrolimus, which does the same thing in a different fashion.
But either which way, it's not going to mitigate the disease. It's going to treat the symptoms.
It's treating and lubricating the eye, but the other two drugs are going to treat. But it looks like a really good product.
Yeah.
Versus
just a rewetting drop or a just
natural
basic
artificial tear. Yeah.
Lubricant.
Chronic use of artificial tears without HA, and it can be damaging. And also the preservatives in some of these tear replacement products can be damaging to the cornea. So, yeah, what's the name of that?
Centrix, Centrix.
Centrix. So we probably need to try that. We use, what's the drop?
Optimmune.
Optics.
Oh, we do.
As our tear replacement currently.
Yes, we do have Optics, and it's
Optics
called Optics
Care.
And that's not a drop. It's also an ointment.
And then we're bringing in Clevor, Clevor, which is an ophthalmic drop also but
not treating the eyes.
It will induce vomiting or emesis. And so that's a relatively newer drug to replace our older apomorphine.
So people might be asking, like, why would you want to induce vomiting? But typically it's if there's an ingested toxin or
medication prescription that's going to be detrimental to that particular animal. So let's finish up on Healthy Pet, Happy Life. So last week we kind of introduced the fact that we're going to try to come up with a new shirt was our idea, and we may use it other areas, but you know, what constitutes a Healthy Pet, Happy Life kind of partnership between us and the pet parent are annual exams, annual lab work we feel pretty strongly about, unless it's a senior pet, in which case sometimes we're going to want to look at some lab work every 6 months. We're going to have the discussion about recommended lifestyle vaccines, and then in Georgia, especially year-round, you know, it's every month of the year, heartworm prevention, which also includes intestinal parasites, and then honestly, flea and tick here as well.
So somewhat simplifying this, there should be 4 check boxes, right? And so that would indicate that we have a very strong relationship with the pet parent and that together we're taking the best care of their pet as we possibly can.
Correct. Keeping them as healthy as we can.
By examining them on a routine basis, both externally with a physical exam, internally with their lab work, making sure that they're protected with the appropriate vaccinations, and then preventing them from diseases.
Correct. And then obviously other discussions that we need to have. If the
of
pet's
course.
Overweight, you know, nutrition.
Diet,
yes.
Other chronic disease.
Allergies.
More acute things.
Et
of cetera.
So.
But this is like the basics of it. Like I said, stripping it down to just the simplicity of what we want as far as a relationship with a pet parent.
To be the advocate for that pet and explain to the pet owner the why.
Of course. Yep.
And so that's just kind of revisiting that. That's going to be somewhat of our initiative moving forward for the next 12 months, if not longer.
Yep.
The other thing I just wanted to mention, because we've had a slew of animals come through the clinic of late that have skin tumors or subcutaneous tumors or tumors even involving the muscle that have been there for far too long, and then now all of a sudden whoever we is, quote unquote, we have decided that the tumor needs to come off. And oftentimes that is the client that does make the decision to finally seek surgical care. Some of these tumors can be too big for us to remove with good margins and with good end results, because there's only so much skin and surface area.
Most of it's location-based in that regard, right?
It's size-related, it's location-based, how much movement is there, and also, I mean, the temperament of the animal as well. And so I guess my point in bringing this up is if your pet has a tumor, a growth, a mass, neoplasia, all meaning the same thing, on the skin or underneath the skin, and it's noticeable and it's getting bigger, it's only going to get bigger. That's the only option we have. I mean, they do not stay the same forever. They always grow, and they rarely, unless it's a histiocytoma, they rarely go away.
Right.
So
resolve on their own.
Ignoring these masses is not the right decision to make historically, or typically rather. Have a conversation with the veterinarian. Let's do an exam. Let's most likely do a fine needle aspirate, see what the cells look like, what kind of tumor is it. We better know what to expect. And then most often we're going to want to remove those while they're smaller versus bigger.
Of course.
So that's just kind of my recommendation. But with that, do you have anything else? Are you ready to sign us out?
I don't think so. Let's just go ahead and sign us out, guys. Make sure to check in next week as we discuss more in the news and in our industry. Follow us on Instagram at People, Pets, and Vets. And make sure to follow all of our clinics on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. And then you can also check out our blogs on our website at mygavet.com. And remember, wherever you're listening to this podcast, please hit subscribe. We thank you for the subscriptions and the downloads that we already have this year, and are looking forward to exponential growth for the rest of the year. Lastly, please also note that without people, pets are simply animals.
Bye, guys.